I shared earlier this morning with somebody that they asked me, when was the last time I led a service? I said, I can't remember. It's been so long. 20 years, or maybe even more. So my life really has gone full circle. When I first came here, thanks to Sarah, a good friend, I thought I would humour her. I would just come along. So this scruffy guy in these wonderful T-shirts, it's actually my brother, came. And not for lack of effort, he stuck around. And Tim asked me once, well, a couple of times, he said, what would I like to do? How would I like to be involved? And I said, I don't know. I'm not going to ask. You pray, you go away, and you ask me. And I thank you for this opportunity. I feel honoured to be here with you. You're not just friends. You're not just part of the church. You are brothers and sisters, each and every one of you. Tim jokingly said that he will have a red flag, and if I say anything wrong or go on too long, he will start waving it at me. And I will be honest, I got a little bit worried during that last hymn he went out. I thought, okay, he's had enough. But we come to realise that we do meet occasionally. We try to meet to have some time together in a prayer. Me and Tim, we have a weird and wonderful relationship. I'm weird, he's wonderful. And we won't go into the things like sweet and sour and things like that. So what about David? Who was David? King David was a man of contrasts. At times he was single-mindedly devoted to God. But at other times he failed miserably. Does that remind you of anyone? He, as much as he was after God's own heart, he committed some of the most serious sins recorded in the Old Testament. Perhaps he had a frustrating life, first in the shadow of his brothers, and then constantly on the run from King Saul. Even after he became king of Israel, he was engaged in constant warfare to defend the kingdom. As much as he had his faults, many of them, he still loved his God and wanted the heart of God. He fathered Solomon, one of Israel's greatest kings, some say the wisest king of Israel. He was also the father of Absalom, whose rebellion brought bloodshed and grief. So as you can see, like our daily lives, he had a roller coaster of a life, sometimes up, sometimes down, but probably never boring. He also left us examples of his passionate love for God through dozens of psalms. Some of them are the most touching and beautiful poetry ever written. So what do we have here from what we've read today? The Philistine army had gathered for war against Israel. The two armies faced each other, ready for a big battle. A Philistine giant, some say measuring probably over 9 feet tall, wearing full armor and well armed, was there waiting. And Saul and the whole army of Israel were frightened. They were scared stiff. But David, who was just a young man at the time, stood up and became counted for God. David. He was a mighty warrior. The Bible tells us that he killed thousands of enemies compared with the hundreds of Saul. He was a great ruler, a great king. We often hear about the house of David. Christ was born into the house of David. He was a great ruler and king. He was a husband. He was a father. He was a lover. He had fame and fortune. And obviously he was mentioned in Hebrews. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was often called the Son of David. So perhaps the greatest accomplishment of David was to be called a man after God's own heart. He was a faithful son and brother and friend. We only have to look at his relationship with Jonathan. And that's a model of friendship we can all learn from. How often do we get that annoying person knocking at the door or ringing, "Oh, I can't be bothered with you today. Come when it's more convenient." Do we have that relationship like David and Jonathan? He was dedicated. He was a shepherd, one of the most dangerous jobs you could have. But aren't we also to be called shepherds, our ministers, our leaders? Part of our pastoral care is to be a shepherd, a good shepherd. And throughout the Bible, and Jesus talked about being the good shepherd. And at times it was dangerous. At times it was life-threatening. And then he was a small boy, nothing special. Not big and strong like his brothers, just a small boy after God's heart. That's why God chose him. Samuel 16 says this: "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For God does not see as man sees. The man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart, at the heart.'" If God went on looks alone, I wouldn't be standing here. So we look at David, a giant killer. He was facing a big hurdle, a big task. Goliath was big, strong, well-armoured, carrying a heavy sword. And I have handled swords myself in the past, and they are heavy. He had a spear, javelin, maybe other armaments as well. David had his staff and his sling. Goliath was confident in his own abilities. Goliath was confident, "I can do this. I have my gods. I can do this. I don't need you. I don't need the Lord God Almighty." David, because he was so young and so small, he had to rely on God. He wasn't strong. He couldn't even wear Saul's armor. So he had to rely on the one true God. And how often have we been put in that situation where we have nothing? We cannot do this under our own strengths. I have to rely on you, God. Otherwise, I will fall flat on my face. So Goliath ridiculed and belittled David and the God. What a mistake that was. All David had, as I said, had the Lord God Almighty. Goliath had his false beliefs through his fake gods. So a false sense of security. How often have we relied on ourselves rather than relying on God? Was David scared? Possibly. Remember, he had no military training at that time. He was just a small shepherd boy who had to fight animals. That's the worst that he had to do. But that's bad enough. Bears, lions, and other things. He had to be able to defend his flock. But actual military training? Nah. So, would he have been scared even with his faith? How often are we scared to do something for God? I will be honest with you, there was a time, you know, the last few days I haven't slept because I've been thinking of today. And maybe it did cross my mind, shall I give Tim a call and say, can't do this? Despite sounding calm, maybe, on the outside, you look at that swan, so graceful, but you look at the legs underneath. That's how my stomach is feeling right now. David made his choice. He made his promise to God. I made my choice and my promise to God. Maybe Naomi and Ian were so nervous inside today, but boy, they did so well. God gave David special gifts and a special ability to overcome when needed. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. My God is there for me. He will equip me for whatever he wants me to do, just like he did with David. Before that, just like he did with Joshua, like Moses, and like all the other great people in the Bible. God gave them what they needed at a particular time. And we should expect that. When things seem really bad, it's like when I told you earlier about my job situation. I could have cracked up. I could have said, blow this, stuff this. I'm going back home to Chippenham. I will go and live with my stepfather. But I stuck it out. I prayed. And I thank you for those who have prayed for me throughout my situation. And God answered. He answered me, and he answered you. So David was brave enough to stand up and face his fears. He was confident that God would not let him down. How often has God let us down? How often have we let him down? But God is faithful and just. God gave David what he needed. We know that David was famous for his faith. But he was far from perfect, just like us. But he loved his God. But God loved David first, just like he loves us first. In 1 John 4, verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. John's first letter, when John was the first book of the Bible, I read straight through. a wonderful love letter. But just like he loved us first, he loved David first. So that's how this is relevant for us today. What he can do for David, he can do for us. Overcoming these giant hurdles. And how willing are we to be like David and be taken out of our comfort zone? Taken out of our comfort zone for Christ. David may have felt like a young child doing a man's job or an adult's job. But he still had that faith. That's how we should be today. Are we bold like David, as we read? Be bold, be strong, be of good courage. How many times do we read that throughout the Old Testament? As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. That's as relevant today as it was in the Old Testament times, as in David's time, as in Christ's times. The Lord thy God is with you now. So do we say, when we're asked to do something, do we say, here I am, Lord, send me? Or do we say, I can't do this, please find someone else? Most of you know I grew up in my Christian life in a Pentecostal church, in an Elim church in Chippenham. Now the church was built on the edge of an estate, just on the corner of a road which spent all fields behind it. But the minister was a builder and he built that church through faith. Now it's on one of the biggest estates in Wiltshire, let alone Chippenham. When he built it, there was no planning permission, it was just fields. And one evening I was there in a special service and I felt the Lord give me a message for the church. Was I brave enough to stand up and speak it? No, I wasn't. I will be honest with you. I let my God down. What did he do? He gave that same message to someone else to share with the church. And I had to go and apologize to my pastor. So when God asks you to do something, do it. Let's take Ian. I don't know why I asked him, first of all, to do the reading. He was serving teas and coffees. And I don't know why I said it. Come out, I want to talk to you for a moment. Will you read this? And he said, yes, here I am. And then a couple of weeks ago, after the service, he came over to talk to me and I said, I don't know why I asked. I said, Ian, will you open the service in prayer? Will you pray? Come up and pray. And the look on his face, the look of fear, his jaw hit the ground. I don't know. That is well out of my comfort zone. But then he thought, yes, I will do it. I need to be taken out of my comfort zone. And the Lord will bless you for that. And he will use you in many ways in the future. I don't think that. I know it. Take each step as it comes, as the Lord wants. And then let's talk about the teenager with an attitude, as we call her. Young Naomi. Lovely girl, always smiling, always has an opinion. Am I right, Dad? Yes. At Bob and Jean's open house, parents were just sat there next to me. And I said to them, can I ask your daughter to do a Bible reading? They said, yes, of course you can, but she's got to say no. But ask her anyway, but we're 100% she's going to say no. So I ask her quietly. And she said, yes, I'll do it. I'll do it. Yes. There, her parents' faces were like Ian's, jaws hit the floor. Never thought that would happen. And I said all along, if she changes her mind, because in some ways we probably all thought she was going to change her mind, that she wouldn't be brave enough. But she did. She said, here I am. I will do something for you, Lord. So like Ian, God has special things planned for you. Just be open to him. Take that leap of faith. I was asked by text if I would lead the service today or one day in the future. And that was on the 2nd of January this year. I still have it marked down. I never thought that this would happen. And when I said yes, I would like to do David the Giant Killer, Overcoming Hurdles. Tim's reply was wonderful, just what I was thinking. So maybe great minds do think alike, or fools seldom differ. And then last week, he dropped the bombshell on me. I forgot it's communion as well. Thank you, Lord. But after prayer and thought, because Tim offered to take the communion, I said, here I am, Lord, send me. If David can do it, a young boy, an old man like me can do it. God has a way of throwing things at us and throwing us into the deep end. But it's up to us, just like David, if we sink or if we swim. Do we go with what God wants us to do, or do we just sink? David was given the tools and the ability to do what God wanted him to do, just like he will do for us. David had the faith and courage to work for God. Of course, David asked and David prayed, just like we should. Lord, give me the ability. He will do it for us. You know, when were you and I last taken out of our comfort zones? We know about the Great Commission. We know about what Christ asked us to do for him. David's faith in God calls him to look at the giant from a different perspective. Not as he saw, but as God would see it. Goliath was merely a mortal man defying God's will, going against God. He was nothing special. We know the saying, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. But if we're on the solid rock, we will not fall, just like David. David looked at the battle from God's point of view, from God's perspective. And that's how we must look at things. It's not always as we see, because we are not perfect. We have to look and see how God would see the situations that we are in. And we have to realize when we do that, God will fight for us and with us. David for various reasons, chose not to wear the king's armor. But we are supposed to put on the whole armor of God. We should do that on a daily basis. We read in Peter that God gave him the gift. We need to take that for ourselves. As each one of us has received a gift, minister it to one another. David had that gift and he was brave enough to use it. So we should be brave enough to use our gifts. I'm just going to ask now, before I finish, are we facing a giant problem or an impossible situation? We should stop for a minute and refocus. And can we then see that situation more clearly from God's point of view? Do we need to take a courageous action or do something special in the face of insults from others outside? Do we trust that God will fight for us and be with us? We must remember that it is God's opinion that matters, not ours. Finally, when was the last time that you and I, like David, was taken out of our comfort zone for God? What did we do? And then when, not if, when it happens again, what will we do? Will we run? Will we fall like Goliath? Or will we stand strong like David? Amen. I'd like to sing a final hymn.